My talk for this morning is called The Consequences of Sin, and you'll find it in Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 to 21. Before I do that, I'd like to recommend a book to you. It's called God's Big Picture, A Bible Overview by Vaughan Roberts. I bought this copy for £2.90. I want to thank Tim for recommending it to me. So as we're doing the book of Joshua, in this book, I came across this story. Who knocked down the walls of Jericho? Now, a police inspector went to visit a primary school where he was asked to take a scripture class. He began by asking, "Who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" There was a long silence as the children shuffled nervously on their seats. Eventually, a little lad put up his hand and said, "Please, sir, my name is Bruce Jones. I don't know who did it, but it wasn't me." The policeman thought that reply was very cheeky, so he reported the episode to the head teacher. After a pause, the head teacher replied, "I know Bruce Jones. He's an honest chap. If he said he didn't do it, then he didn't do it." The inspector was furious. The head teacher was either rude or very ignorant. The inspector wrote to the Department of Education to complain and received this response: "Dear sir, we are very sorry to hear about the walls of Jericho and that nobody has admitted causing the damage. If you send us an estimate, we will see what we can do about the cost." Well, it's a silly story and it's probably not true, but it does make a point. A few decades ago, everyone would have known about Joshua and the walls of Jericho. A large proportion of children went to Sunday school or junior church, and the rest still received a grounding in the main stories of the Bible in Bible class or scripture classes. But those days are gone. The average non-Christian is almost completely ignorant of the contents of the Bible. It remains the world's best-selling book. 1.25 million copies are sold in the United Kingdom alone every year. But although many have a copy only on their shelves, do you know, very few people actually read it. So if you want to read the book, you're welcome to do so. And that was just a short passage from it as we're doing Joshua. So it's called God's Big Picture, A Bible Overview by Vaughan Roberts. So let's get back to our main sermon this morning. Now, Israel had just been involved in the greatest military conquest in their history. They had just witnessed the tremendous defeat of the city of Jericho, and they are still basking in the glow of the great event. But verse 1 tells us that God was upset with his people. Israel, though, that thought that everything was all right, nothing was wrong. They thought they were standing on the edge of the great string of victories that would see them conquering the entire land that God had promised. Yet, what they didn't know was that there was a problem in the camp. There was one person in their midst who was causing a problem for the entire family of God. May I say that things are still the same today? According to the Bible, when one member of the body has problems, the entire body has problems. You see, your spiritual temperature has a deep effect on the entire body of Christ. You are not an island unto yourself. What you do affects the entire church. Now, sin causes problems. It causes them for the sinner and for everyone else around them. Most of us are guilty of being like Achan from time to time when we allow sin into our lives and try to hide our sins or try to cover it up. We bring pain and trouble into our lives. Now, these verses reveal to us the consequences of sin and the correction that is necessary. So if we look in verses 2 and 3, we see Israel was overconfident. Israel was still lying in the glory, in the glow of their victory at Jericho. And they looked at Ai and felt like that little town would be no problem for such a great army as theirs. But although Israel was a confident people, but a closer look reveals that their confidence was misplaced. in verse 3, they feel like that just a few of the soldiers were needed to secure the victory in a little town called Ai. They really had forgotten that it was God, not their own ability, but had brought about the wonderful victory at Jericho. How soon we forget. When we forget that we owe everything to God, we begin to be filled up with pride. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a conceited spirit before a fall. However, it's not necessarily wrong to take pride in our work, of course. If we don't, our work will probably end up sloppy and incomplete. Paul urged his young companion, Timothy, to be a worker who does not intend to be ashamed. But the Bible warns us against a self-centered pride that says, look at me, look at what I've accomplished. Why is this wrong? One reason is because it makes us think we are better than any other people. And this cuts us off from them and makes us insensitive to their needs. Nevertheless, confidence is a good thing as long as one's confidence is in the right place. When we are walking with our hope and our confidence in the Lord, we will win the victory. But when we are walking with our confidence in the power of our own ability and in our own flesh, then we are certain to fail. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. Now, and Israel was defeated. Now, when Israel went up to Ai and tried to take on that little town, they suffered a terrible defeat, and 36 of their number were killed. This must have been very devastating to the Israelites. However, when one takes the time to look more closely at their actions, it's easy to see that they made several mistakes. Mistakes that I feel many of us are guilty of making as well. For starters, for one, they didn't pray. Nowhere in this passage does it even hint that Joshua and the people of Israel sought the will of God for dealing with Ai. They didn't even pray about the matter. If they had prayed, God would have revealed or shown them the problem before the people had died. So how many times are we guilty of jumping ahead of the Lord and his will? Do we rush headlong into life and trust the Lord to bail us out of the messes in which we find ourselves? You know, it's far better to consult God before we make the mistakes than it is to expect him to clean up our messes afterwards. And secondly, they didn't take the Ark of the Covenant into battle. You see, the Ark symbolized the presence and the power of God. They went into the battle in their own strength and they failed. Again, here is an area where we could all use help. We try to live the Christian life, fight the flesh and the devil in our own power, and we fail time after time. The reason? We do not take the time to strengthen our walk with God. When we are walking with the Lord and in his word, as we should be, he will go with us into the battle and face our enemies on our behalf. If God is with us, then who is against us? Let me ask you a question, a rhetorical question. Who killed the giant? Was it David? Or was it God? Now in Samuel chapter 17, it says, all those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you unto, he will give all of you unto our hands. It's God who gives us the victory. And finally, Israel had their confidence in their own power and not in the Lord. They were not walking by faith, but they were guilty of trusting what they could or what they could do. How many times have we suffered defeat at the hands of our opponents because we too believe we were able, that we could get the job done? Well, the bottom line is this: I can't do the job, and neither can you. We all need the Lord to walk in spiritual victory in our lives. John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. And again, we read in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Looking at verse 5, they were clueless. After their terrible defeat at the hands of Ai, the people of Israel are feeling the same fear that their enemies experience. This is one of the problems with sin. It defeats us and leaves us feeling just like lost people. Nothing is right in the life of a believer while there is sin in their heart. Israel didn't know at this point what was wrong. All they knew was that they had just suffered their very first defeat. Thankfully, God wants his people to have the victory, not the defeat. So he takes the necessary steps to tell the nation of Israel just exactly where the problem lies. Let's look at verses 6 to 9 now. And in here we see Joshua reacts in prayer. At last, after the tragedy happens, Joshua finds himself before the Lord in prayer. His prayer is from a broken heart, if we look at verse 6. However, there's also a hint of anger and finger pointing against the Lord. Nevertheless, Joshua is going to learn that prayer is the correct choice in a time of trouble, but that prayer will gain nothing until sin has been dealt with. Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And in verses 10 to 15, we see that God runs through the problem. He explains what the problem is. See, while Joshua and Israel try to figure out what is happening, God in heaven already knows and tells Joshua all about it. He tells him that there is sin in the camp of Israel. He tells Joshua that it's this sin that is hindering, holding back his power, and it's what is bringing about their defeat. He tells Joshua how to discover the guilty party. In these words to Joshua, God gives us some insights into sin, of which we need to take note. And that is that God knows about our sins, God hates our sins, God has a plan for our sins, sin affects those around us. Sin hinders God's work, and sin must be dealt with. So, the sin was discovered, verses 16 to 18 in this chapter. Why didn't God tell Joshua who they were looking for? Now, I don't know. Perhaps he was giving Achan an additional time to repent and confess. As Joshua obeyed the Lord, one by one, the men of Israel were taken, and eventually they came to Achan. The lesson is this for each of us in this way, that God already knows our sin. He knows our mistakes, and we will be found out. We may try to hide and cover it up, but it will be found out. So, in verse 19, sin is discussed. When Joshua speaks to Achan, he speaks with a love in his heart. He does care. My son, he says, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. He knows that Achan is condemned, but Joshua still cares for this man who brought so much trouble to Israel. Now, while God hates sin with his entire being, he still loves the sinner. So the confession in verses 20 to 21. Achan confessed his sins after he got caught. I wonder how many politicians you know confess their mistakes and wrongs when they get caught. No names mentioned. This is not God's method for handling sin. God's way is for a person to be open and honest about their sin, and for us to confess those things to the Lord. God's way is for his people to throw the covers of their sin and tell God the truth that he already knows. But the person who tries to hide their sins will never succeed. Note that in verse 21, Achan calls the things he took spoils. And you can find that in the English Standard Version. However, these things were not spoils, not gifts or rewards. God said to Joshua in chapter 6 that these things were his. They belonged to the Lord. Achan was guilty of stealing from the Lord. And if we read in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, it says the people of Israel were rebuked. They were told off for having robbed God, in withholding from God their sacrifices and offerings. They were to offer to God the best of the cattle and the harvests, and to abide by all the laws related to the temple offerings. However, they saw it was a waste to give to God, and instead kept all those things for themselves. In so doing, they showed a heart that cared only for self and did not realize that all they had belonged to God. Achan had things buried in his tent that he could not use. You could say that Achan sinned and died for nothing. The things he stole were no good to him. He couldn't sell them on. He couldn't use them. They would know. They would find out. So, verses 22 to 26, it talks about the sinner destroyed. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, the silver, the robe, the gold bars, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys and sheep, his tent and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." And then all Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burnt them. Over Achan, they heaped a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. Now, these verses give us a sad conclusion to a tragic tale or story. Achan and all that he had were taken out and stoned to death by the people of Israel. It didn't have to end this way. A hard lesson to be learned is this: the wages of sin is death. And God's attitude towards sin hasn't changed. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will also he reap." We may have ourselves convinced that we can get involved with sin and not have to suffer the consequences, but that simply isn't true. What a sad account following such a wonderful victory, but that is the way it is. When we disobey God's commands, we bring upon ourselves and others the judgment of God. How much better to obey him and follow his word. And just to finish, before we do a little prayer, though the wage of sin is death, did you know that God's gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ? We now have a way back to God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we have eternal life. Praise be to God. Let's pray. And this is something I paraphrase from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you for our own fault, in thought, word, and deed, also in what we have done and things we should have done. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us for all we have done wrong, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen.